You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello.
Hi. You know, it's just interesting, right? We have a pretty standard opening. We talk about like, hey, hello, welcome to the Academy.
Yes, I was expecting you to do
that. Yeah, and I know sometimes just throwing that off a little bit is interesting in and of itself. So.
It's unnerving. Weird. Hi, Chirag, how are you?
It's a good... Decluttering voice is a good... okay, I'm just making that up. But no, I mean, but silence is a very interesting concept in terms of conversation.
Okay. So we're just going to have a silent podcast?
No, of course not. But I just mean like humans have a very, very high tendency to fill silences.
Yes.
And it's amazing what that does for conversation.
I know. You get to hear a lot of rubbish. Just sometimes you just
No, it's not. I don't mean it like that. Well, this is okay. That's also true, by the way. But what I mean is like, you know, it's like a hot tip, right? You're sitting at a negotiation table and you're trying to like work through something. And sometimes, you know, someone's just pushing, and you're kind of at loggerheads with each other. And instead of that, sometimes if you just sit silently and just wait, eventually they'll just tell you what they really want, and then you can make progress. So sometimes that's what I mean. Sometimes like asking questions constantly kind of keeps moving them in a direction, and there's resistance to that. But if you just don't say anything, then invariably they land up wanting to fill that gap and then start saying things that. Could be useful. Anyway, this is just...
Yeah, that used to happen on calls when I used to be a lawyer.
There you go.
I used to be quiet sometimes, or I'd just be exasperated going, oh my God, can they stop negotiating for silly terms? So I'd just go, okay. And then there'd be silence and then wait.
Yeah, because they're expecting you to either react to it or say something. And when you don't, then they're like, okay, but by the way, and then you kind of get into that.
Yeah, usually it would be because I was trying to figure out what to write in the send, like the new line in the clause, and I'm like, oh my God, I have to think about this properly now. And they're talking to me still, but yeah, they still talk, and then they'd actually give me the line usually, so it's all right. Or I'd go no.
Yeah, and what's cool about this also is, by the way, is that this is one of those things where we don't plan the segue, and the segue just happens organically. So we were actually going to talk about your shift from becoming a lawyer.
Yes.
And you brought it up, you know, organically.
I know.
Because we were talking about something else.
I'm amazing like that sometimes.
Only when I don't tell you what the segue is, then you get good at it.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So anyway, well, today we're going to talk a little bit about, well, we're calling it like a decluttering your life kind of thing, but we're talking more, I think, maybe more towards your career.
Yeah. So decluttering your previous career life.
Yeah. Or the decluttering that has to come with changing careers.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's something you've been through. So we're kind of going to talk a little bit about that and kind of what that journey was like for you.
Yes, yeah.
So as you know, has come up obviously previously on the show, but also just a few minutes ago, you used to be a lawyer.
I did. I was a solicitor for 13 years. Well, I wasn't a solicitor for 13 years, but I was a lawyer for 13 years. And I gave up my career in 2013 to start Declatomy. So it's been over 8 years. No, next month is 8 years. Is that right? My math is terrible.
Yeah, I was going to be like, I mean, you really, like, you're really trying to
is
do
it
this?
Eight?
Yeah,
it is eight. Eight, that's yeah. Fine. That's why I was a lawyer. I was never good at maths.
Like I said, silence works.
Yeah. So, yeah, I made that decision. And I get a lot of the, oh, you're so brave. Oh, my God. You know, how could you do that? And I never thought of it as brave. I never thought of it as anything. I just know that I was going through a mental breakdown. I was miserable in my job. I was miserable in my career. I was traveling around the world. I went to places like Mexico, which was amazing. And I love Mexico so much. I want to go back, but I was still unhappy because I was working ridiculous hours, dealing with lots and lots of toxicity in work, you know, a horrible corporate culture because I was a corporate lawyer in-house. So that's a whole different ball game from being a practice lawyer, a law firm lawyer. So I've talked about it, you know, generally and in interviews and stuff, but I thought it would be good to talk about it here because we've never really...
Yeah, and especially the part right after, right? So, I mean, obviously, as you mentioned just now, you were going through a tough time at work. I mean, it's multiple things, right? The career is not fulfilling. The culture is toxic. You're not really happy. I mean, if you're, you know, when you said like you're traveling to Mexico, you come back, you're still not happy. That's weird, right? Because you would expect that you got to explore something new. You love to travel. This should have been natural and it's not, right?
Yeah. So I found Decartome. I started it. I didn't actually quit my job until, I came up with the idea in March 2013, formed the company in August, but I left my company where I worked in end of September, so started officially in October. So I didn't go straight into it. I took time because I knew I was going to earn all the money to save it, to survive, because I knew I was going to make a salary. But it's dealing with the aftermath. So I felt the weight off my shoulders as soon as I left that office with all my stuff, like one box of things. And then I had the flu twice. So even my doctor was like, nobody gets the flu twice, but my body had broken down.
Yeah.
So that's a major thing. So my body did just decluttered all the toxins out of my body. You know, I was very, very ill, but it was great afterwards. I lost loads of weight as well. declutter the body with the flu. It was at a time when social media was becoming bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
So Twitter, we'd been on Twitter for like...
Yeah, a few years by that point, actually. Yeah, 6, 7 years at that
2009,
point.
2009, we'd been on...
Yeah.
So that was becoming more, you know, Instagram was up and running, I think. Yeah, it was, because I formed an Instagram account at that time. But that was early days still. So it was more about telling your friends, you know, can you follow me? Can you tell people about me? You know, trying to get it myself out there to get support, because not only was I doing a new business, I was the first one in the region, in the whole of the Middle East. No one else was an organizer in the whole of the Middle East. I mean, now there's millions of them, not millions, thousands. But, you know, I was the first one. So nobody knew what decluttering was. They were like, shoo, what is this? Like, I don't understand. And people would be quite, they were like, well, that's a maid service. Like, no, there's more to it than that. So it's dealing with that was a big issue. But on a personal front, dealing with friends was a thing.
Did you have a lot of friends that turned around and told you like you were making a bad choice?
Yeah. A lot of, not a lot, but a few people said I was crazy. Mostly Asians, so unsurprisingly, you know, and Arabs, because, you know, like, you know, it's a cultural thing.
It's not normal to be entrepreneurial, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it's not looked, I mean, unless you like, whatever, come from money or have family business, it was a different story.
Yeah.
Because then again, it's a different kind of
they
setup.
They don't call themselves entrepreneurs if it's a family business.
That's what I'm saying. It's a different setup anyway. But I think there has been a very traditional attachment towards jobs of repute, right?
Yes.
The doctor, the lawyer, yeah, you know, the engineer, like that. They're like categories with titles, as somebody pointed out the other day. It's like categories with titles and or careers with titles. So I can see that. I can see that being a bit tricky. And I think it's a bit better now, but probably in 2013, not so much.
No, yeah. It was that backwards view. I mean, to be honest, my parents, my dad and my brother said, you know, I told them about it, you know, when I came up with the idea and said, what do you think? And they're both bankers. So we're all corporate. And they said, okay, try it. If you fail, you can go back to being a lawyer. And it still comes up every so often going, do you want to go back to being a lawyer? No, I don't. No, I can't handle working with people again in a corporate office. So that was a thing. But another thing with friends were the ones who went, I can't support you, with no justification. And you will find that when you do make a change in your life. It's not just a career change. I've seen it with people who have changed maybe their religion or their lifestyle, and you'll see the naysayer friends, you know, the ones who are like, I don't believe in you, why have you changed, this is not acceptable, I'm just not gonna support your new life. And those kind of people I got rid of. I mean I didn't have time for them anyway, because I was too busy trying to set up the business and trying to promote myself and stuff. But you do see a lot of that. So if you're going through that right now, you know, you have the naysayers if you've changed something in your life. And I know a lot of people have in the last year, you know, they've got into more spirituality or into creative endeavors, you know, or artistic things. You know, they're doing, or sporty things. A lot of people are doing more sporty things than before because they got into it during the lockdown and stuff. So there are those naysayers. And I mean, you must have had that as well, like starting your business. Like,
No, I mean, I don't think it was naysayers as much as, but there's a whole bunch of different things that happens, right? Like you have, I think I was a little bit fortunate because for me personally, decluttering the life, personal life was already happening even prior to me doing all of this stuff.
Right.
Because I was dealing with, what feels very toxic in certain friendships and relationships where it just feels like, man, every time I come to you with something interesting or something that I'm happy about, like you are killing that excitement for me. And you know, I think once you start recognizing that that's happening, it becomes automatic, like almost naturally. You just stop going to those people, or you start reducing it, or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was hard to do that with friends who had been friends with for a long time because there's so much. It's like that investment, right? You're sitting there, you're looking, man, I've invested 7 years in this friendship, just as an example.
Yeah.
How do I let all of that go? Like, why has it come to this? Yeah. And maybe there is whatever. But anyway, we're digressing there. But the idea is, so that was already kind of happening for me. So I didn't see a lot of that. I didn't see a lot of it. But yeah, you know, there are times when like I will tell people what I do. And the first question, like before I can finish talking, it's like, how do you make money?
Yeah.
And I understand the question. Because I think it's a valid one, right? I mean, how do you generate revenue? How do you get paid to do what you do? Which I think is a fair question.
Yeah.
But there's something about the tone when it comes out sometimes when you're kind of like, well, this sounds like a dumb idea. Like, how the hell could you be making money off of this thing? And when that tone comes, you just have this thing where you just look at them and you're like, yeah, I'm doing okay, actually.
Yeah.
Thanks, though.
Thanks, yeah.
You know, like, thanks, whatever. And you know that like there's kind of a line you've automatically drawn because of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, there was one friend who went, I don't see the point of having your business exist. And I'm like, wow. Like,
and this is a friend of yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, there's like a few thousand in America alone. There's a few hundred in the UK. They're globally organized everywhere. People obviously need it. And this, I'd been in the business for about 2 or 3 years by then. Mm-hmm. So for her to say that, I was like, you can't be saying something like that now when you've seen, and she's seen my work. She's seen what I'd done because it was on social media. So I was like, what, where? There's something wrong with people. Anyway, so.
I mean, that could be the title of this episode.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, that's great. Yeah. So that's the first, you know, that's a major thing. So when you do change something in your life, whether it's your career or your lifestyle or your whatever, if you have those naysayers, get rid of them. I mean, for us, and I think, you know, when you're talking about lifelong friendships, I mean, you've been here for many years, so you have friends, whereas I've got my close friends at home and then a very few close friends here. Mm-hmm. The close friends at home, mostly 20 years, more than 20 years of friendship, always will support. I mean, they supported me moving here, which was a crazy thing because nobody really knew where Dubai was when I moved here. Right. So that alone was good and amazing. So they've always been supportive. And the friends here, you know, the ones that have been supportive are amazing. And, you know, but then they leave and it's
well, funny. I mean, they're still your friends today for that reason. And I think the other thing also that we tend to kind of ignore a lot, and it's going back to like sort of almost decluttering principles, right, is about doing it at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us, and even as you're explaining now, you know, when you made the shift, then you got the naysayers, then you decluttered them.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I think that's something we should all be doing anyway. I mean, if you are feeling that kind of negative energy coming from somebody in your life, you should be able, cognizant to be able to step up and say like, actually this friend is, I'm not sure if this friend is really adding value and it's not about adding value, but this friend is draining me, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that is something that you should be more cognizant of, not only when you're in crisis. In fact, the best time to do it is when you're not.
Yeah.
Because when you're in a good place, it's easier to move past that.
Yeah,
than just, when you're in crisis, because that time you're just hard. I'm like, man, I'm already like struggling and I'm going to give up my friends. Like, and that's a really tough thing to do.
And I think it's an even tougher thing now with social media. So we're so reliant on social media. I mean, especially for me as an expat to keep in touch with people.
Yeah.
But I was just looking at my Facebook friends today for some reason, and it's like 300 friends and that's it. Like, you know, before I think it was close to 1,000.
Yeah, there were a few thousands, yeah.
So now, you know, that's, you know, obviously it's my job to declutter and I do declutter people, but I do it, you know, as you said, in the good times or the bad times. If in the good times they can't even like a post, that says a lot about it. If it's once, then you can say, yes, it's the algorithms. But when it's every single time when you're sending, like, you know, for me, I do my view today. So I show a beautiful view or somewhere that I am. If that person can't like a simple video or picture of my view, there's something not right, you know? I feel that they're, and it's, it comes up, you know, when you talk to them, then they're like, oh, I'm so jealous that you're always doing these things. And you're like, don't be jealous. Yeah, be that's supportive.
That I agree with. The liking thing, I don't know. I feel a bit like kind of up and down, only because I'm feeling like I'm not feeling like I want to, that's where I want to be making my friends. And for me, the social media is now completely turning into this. When I feel like sharing something with the public world, that's what's going on there. My private relationships, I'm maintaining them offline and off, not offline, but off social media anyway. So I don't know how much I'm not doing that, but I completely agree with you. Like if the reaction is this jealousy and the reaction is, you know, it's like the whining, complaining, the jealousy rather than being happy for you, then definitely that's something you should think about.
And I think, and also, everybody's using their social media in different ways. So a lot as you're very more,
curated, I guess.
Yes, the word you curated. Want. Yes, I was going to say hidden or guarded, but curated is the word for you. Yeah, you're very curated. For me, I mean, I have double accounts for personal and social. But my Facebook and all my close friends know my Facebook is my private space.
Yeah,
this is where I share my private life a lot with my friends around the world and my family. So my cousins and stuff are on there. But on my Instagram, I might show pictures.
It's more public.
It's more cats. And then Twitter is where I'm more vocal about things. Yeah. But that's always where I've been. And my personal Twitter account is, it's more where I can voice my opinions on political and world things that I'm interested in.
Sure.
Which might cause me trouble. But, but it's my forum. So I have my different forums and my close friends who follow me that these are my different forums and this is where I am. But, you know, say my Facebook is my private space. And everybody has those kind of ways of the tiers of how they're using social
compartmentalizing.
Media. That's it. Come on. That's the word. The very big words today. So if you don't do that, think about doing that. Because that will help you as well.
It's important,
Because it's all fine and dandy to have all these millions of accounts and different social media accounts. I mean, there's Snapchat, there's TikTok, there's this, there's that. Do you need all of them? Do you need to follow all the people on them? You know, all your friends? Can you compartmentalize, you know?
Yeah, so either, like you said, either you do it by network to say Facebook's private, Instagram's public, whatever.
Yeah.
Or saying, you know, I'm going to share the same thing everywhere, but then this is the audience and that's that. Like for sort of my approach, where it's like I'm not segregating by platform. I'm just saying, listen, I'm only going to share certain things on social media.
Yeah.
And then I don't care which platform it goes on. I'll pick a couple of them and I'll go equal on those. And then my sort of tighter relationships are happening off of Instagram.
Exactly,
Last year was kind of a little bit of a reset on that front. And I think it's important that we all of us realize that that's happening to us. And when we do it a little bit more ongoing, then wait for something to hit the fan and then turn around and be like, oh my God, I have all these toxic people in my life. Because that's way harder as well.
Yeah. And also think about yourself if you are that kind of person and if you are being toxic.
You know, that's a good point. Like,
don't be toxic.
If you're chasing someone because, you know, whatever, then like maybe it's time.
Yeah, take a step back, look at yourself, look at how you're behaving. And if people are reacting to you in a negative way as well because of your behavior, you need to look at that as well. Because we're talking about toxic people coming at us, but what if you're the toxic person going to other people?
And could you be having that kind of impact? I mean, you may not be exactly a toxic person, but could you be having that impact, whether you're seeing pushback from somebody repeatedly, even though you think you're trying to help, and maybe you need to reset that balance?
Oh, talking about trying to help, did I mention about how people, when you start your business, they try to help and by telling you how to run your business?
No, no, we didn't.
Oh my God, can we please put it out there? If someone started a business, if they asked you for advice, give it. If they don't ask for advice, don't give them advice and tell them what they should do about their business, especially if you've not even heard about this kind of business. So we're in a realm, in a new business, right? No, not many people heard of like podcasting until now. 8 years ago, people hadn't heard of organizing. The amount of useless or patronizing advice I got over the years, I still get, you know, after all these years, I'll get, you know, you should do this. You should create a course for your thing. Oh, yes, I know. I just have to find time to write the course. Or, you know, you should do this and that. And it's like, no, please. Or why aren't you making this much money? Or why haven't you got assistance? And sorry, it's a rant. It's a rant.
No, I know. I know exactly what you mean. I think for me, what has really worked is it took me time, by the way, to build that. But I have a core group of friends. And there are a few. I mean, it's not like one or two. I think it's more than that. Who I trust in terms of advice.
Yes.
And so generally what lands up happening is, although I think part of the reason I trust them is because they don't just throw advice at me all the time. Yeah. They do it when I ask them for it. But it's I have that trust group, so to speak, where and sometimes I'm just using that group to workshop ideas. Sometimes I have an idea and we're having a chat about something. But like, hey, by the way, what do you think of if I launch something like this? Would this be something you would be interested in? Not that you have to do anything about it, but would that be something that would be interesting? And that helps.
Yes.
But it's important to filter out all the others because, you get advice thrown at you all the time. You have people contacting you all the time about things.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, there's nowhere in my communication where that's not clear that this is not what I do or this is not how I do it or whatever it is. And it happens a lot. And I think if you are the person that just feels like giving advice to somebody about their business, see if you're the right person for that. Yeah. And if not, it's okay to not share it.
Yeah. So unsolicited advice is not required, especially when you go to networking events. I get a lot of that. Like, you explain what your business is because they won't understand it. And then they start giving unsolicited advice. It's like, no, please don't. But as you said, I think you had it on a podcast once about your board of people.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the concept was the personal board of governors.
Personal board,
Board of directors, whatever, yeah.
And then I realized that I have that. So there's my few, and you're included in it, as you know, because you get all my, you know, I ask you loads of questions all the time. But there's you and a few other people who are my personal board. So I don't have a board for my business, but I have this group of people that I reach out to, as you said, and like, you know, for whatever reason and say, can you look at this? What do you think? You know, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? And that's a wonderful thing. And it's a wonderful support network to have.
So, yeah, and it goes both ways, by the way. And we do it for the friends in return as well. Like it works both ways.
Yeah.
I think and this is to the people that give the advice. I think you need to see if you're in that space with this person. Of course, if the person has come to you for advice, that's fine. And that's one way. Don't be condescending, but you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
But even if you're not, I mean, I have friends, by the way, who do give me unsolicited. It's like, I'm not looking for the advice. I'm just sharing something. And then they're like, hey, but have you thought of X? But that's fine because they're in my group of people that I will like, oh, okay. Like I am brainstorming with them. Yeah. So that's okay too. But I think, like you said, like if you're just dumping advice on people or trolling them online because of something they posted.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had that happen on comments, right? Like we'll post a video and be like, well, you should have done the video like this. And you're just like, there if you, or we've posted, I remember this, we posted I'm trying not to be specific. That's why I'm struggling, not because I don't remember it. But we posted something and literally the comment was, well, have you considered like the Middle Eastern perspective? And I'm like, dude, like maybe if you had read the thing that we wrote, like, you know, then you would know that we had. And so it's just one of those things where it's just like, man, like what? And you know, actually, more than the fact that I'm not offended by the comment, but I'm very like, what was your thought process when you decided to do this today? You know, kind of thing. But anyway,
but that seems to be a burden that lots of people are dealing with on social media. That that we call them the keyboard warriors are out there.
Yeah, I feel like we need to have a whole conversation about this anyway.
Yeah, removing the keyboard warriors. Anyway, right, so we stop it today? I went down the rant route.
Yeah, that's fine. So guys, look, I mean, if you are someone that's struggling with some of this, feel free to reach out to Shalina at Declutterme. That's at DeclutterMe. Even if it's just because you want, you know, just want to share and you know, that might help in some way.
Yeah.
But of course, if you're looking to declutter and a little bit more, Shalina is very happy to help you.
Yes, I am.
Declutterme.com/podcast is where you'll find all of our previous episodes, of course. And we'll see you again next week.
Okay. Bye.